father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Before we move on, big ups to my good friend Hayden. Hayden graduating today. So way to go, Hayden. She's graduating first grade. Atta girl. You did. You're great. She is unbelievable. What a great kid. Hell of an athlete. Raheel said that she's not going to amount to much, but I think she's going to be awesome. I think she's going to be an awesome. She's already an awesome kid. So big ups to Hayden. Big ups out there. Hey, you want to play in our golf tournament? Please, please do. It's June 14th at Wildcat Golf Club. It's the occasional invitational, and we want you to take off the day. It's brought to you by SiteJab.com, benefiting kids' meals. The tournament will take place Tuesday, June 14th, Wildcat, 10:30. Each golfer is going to receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company. It's fun. Listen, lunch, Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, a quick award ceremony where I rip some people, all right, for cheating. You're a bunch of cheaters out there. I know that. There's a lot of cheating going on. So if you are somebody who wants to get in and try to cheat and win something, then you're more than welcome to try to get over here and get in it. I don't think I'm going to be able to play yet because I'm still suffering from idiocy, from being stupid. So that is a problem. But we'll see. Maybe. You don't think I can hit some shots while I'm after a few Coors Lights, Lance? You're wrong.
Okay? We'll see.
But I've got
obviously that
motor oil
things.
In there. If I got that motor oil in there, you don't think? All right. You deal a lot with organizations, with their front offices, with how their general managers think. Who do you think is the best? What's the best front office in the league right now?
Lee, that's a big question. The best front office. I honestly don't know all the front offices, so it's hard to say. Like I think Seattle for a long time has been very good and had some very good people in there.
Great job. Dorsey, or John Schneider.
John
Schneider. John Schneider's done a great job. They used to be together.
Dorsey's in Detroit now, who I think got a chance to be pretty good.
Very highly of John Schneider. Yeah. Well, he liked Dorsey too, but Dorsey was different, obviously. By the way, Zoe got the job in Miami.
I know. Yep, 3-year deal.
How about that?
You got a 3-year deal to head up the athletic department, or head up the football program as a personnel evaluator. So that's awesome for Alonzo. He gets to go back to his school and try to make a difference in terms of bringing back their glory. They made an offer he couldn't refuse. I mean, I hate to go Godfather, but he said he was locked in on a brand new deal with Seattle, and then Mario Cristobal came and said, whoa. Alonzo, I know we dropped the ball on this. Let me throw a couple numbers at you and see what you think. Alonzo goes, all right, go Canes.
Let's go.
All right, go Canes. I can tell you, not just because he is a buddy, but I do know the inner workings of their front office, and the Colts are a really good front office. I mean, Ed Dodds, Morocco Brown, both of these guys are highly. Ed Dodds came over from Seattle, and John Schneider, who runs Seattle. Ed Dodds is one of his critical evaluators on that staff, and Ballard took him and brought him over as the assistant general manager. He'll be a general manager within a couple of years. You've got Morocco Brown, who had come over from the Bears. Rock is really, really talented. And listen, they've evaluated. I mean, in their last four drafts, they've had 3 All Pros. That's Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson, and Jonathan Taylor. 2 of those guys weren't even drafted in the first round. So they're really good. They're a really good front office. I think the Steelers have long been a good front office, but Kevin Colbert's gone now, so we'll see how Omar Khan does. Baltimore Ravens have to go right to the top of the food chain. Ravens are always a very, very good front office. I think the Titans are quietly a very good front office as well. They do a really good job with the Titans.
Joe Banner put out a list on the 33rd team. And
oh, did he?
Yeah. And
let me see if I – okay, so Joe Banner used to work for the Eagles. He doesn't put the Eagles in there, does he?
No.
Okay.
So think of the best teams. I mean, so I guess that's pretty obvious, right? But they're doing the best with personnel. Listen.
So he's going to say the Chiefs. Is he going to say the Chiefs?
The Bills number one.
Oh, yeah. The Bills are – How about the Bills now have Brian Gain there, Matt Bazergan, both from the Texans. They have Alonzo Highsmith's son, AJ. He's just a regional scout, but he's going to be – you're going to hear his name within five to six years.
Right.
He's going to move up. But, yeah, that's a really, really good front office, mm-hmm. really good. I just don't know – I mean, I know more of them now because of Bazergan and Gain, but I don't know their general manager personally.
Yeah, Eric DaCosta Brandon Bean. Eric DaCosta with the Ravens. It's just unbelievable. Everybody predicted it correct. And the draft falls to the Ravens, it seems like, that there's somebody there, and then the Ravens pick him up, and he becomes an all-pro.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is what happens. It's been that way for years with Ozzie, and now Eric DaCosta has taken over, and it just seems like they just do it right all the time. And in large part, too, you know, having a head coach that's been there and done that, and, it's a solid coaching staff and whatnot. The Ravens are year in and year out. You just know that the Ravens are going to be a good. That's a tough out. It's always going to be a tough out. The Chiefs with Brett Veach and what they're doing. I find it.
They lost two, but losing Poles hurts them, and then losing Trey Koziel, who's their West Coast scout, who went to take over in a personnel role with the Chicago Bears. That's the thing. When you build like the Chiefs, when you build up the Seahawks, you'll lose guys like Ed Dodds. When you build the Chiefs, you're going to lose guys like Ryan Poles. That's the thing is when you build up these organizations, people want the decision makers from the best or the second guys from the best organizations. That's what they want. And a lot of times those guys will take up a scout or two from that same team. And so you get that's the downside of having a really good group. Is you're going to lose one, two, three, sometimes four guys.
And then the Rams are up there. It's interesting the way Les Snead is going about it. But it's when it, you know what Sean McVay they're talking about. It's head coach and general manager combined, that front office and the way that they go about it, the way that they work. You know, I don't know if the Rams are going to change things or with the NFL draft. I doubt it. But they certainly have put together a pretty good formula, and they say F them.
Brad Holmes came from over there. The Lions general manager came from the Rams, too. He was over there. So that's an example of, you know, one of their guys is now a general manager, which shows you know, that's a sign of respect for the front office. So one of the guys with the Rams hates me, because I tricked him with a prank call.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, Ballard and Rex Hogan, who's the assistant GM with the Jets, when they were both with the – all three of those guys were with the Bears, they had me do a prank call to this. I'm not even going to tell you. I've told you the story before. They had me do a prank call to him, and I got him good. He had been kicked off the field. He was in, like, a big sky game, like Eastern Washington or something, and he was trying to get a close look at a player. He was kind of on the field, and – an official kicked him off, and they kicked him off the field pregame, and he and the official kind of got into it a little bit. And then he unfortunately told Rex and Ballard, I think I'm going to get in trouble. I wouldn't be surprised if the commissioner of the conference calls me, because I think I'm really going to get in trouble. And this guy's kind of a worrywart type. He's kind of a George Costanza type, honestly. And so they told me, okay, Lance, we need you to call this person, and you're going to be the assistant commissioner, and this is your name. All right, and do your thing that you do where you can make your voices and your characters. And so I prank called. I've got it on tape, but I can't play it on the air. And I prank called him. It lasted about 20 minutes, and the guy was just like it was one of my best performances ever of all time. And I got him, and I let those guys let him off the hook that nothing happened. It's not real. And the guy next time I saw him was like, you got me. Oh, I can't believe you got me. 2 years later, he's like, I cannot believe you did that. Now, he stopped me at the con. Every year I saw him, he was getting more and more pissed off. And then it got to where last year at the combine, or no, 2 years ago at the combine, he's like, you didn't have to do that, Lance. You have a choice. There's a choice. There's a fork in the road to do what's right and what's wrong, and you didn't have to do that to me. I'm like, dude, it was a joke. Ballard and Teddy, Ballard and Rexy said, they had me do that. It was just a joke. They told you it was a joke. Words have consequences. I'm like, dude, what? this is like we're damn near a decade later and you're harboring a grudge because I'm good at my craft of prank calling?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not right. What he did is not right to me, making me feel bad about, you know, getting him with a great prank call. And I wish I could play. I mean, I could play some of it, I suppose, but I don't want to because he's so mad at me, and it gets worse every year. Like, he stopped me. We were walking by each other. It was to the point where I'm not even going to talk to the guy. So he's walking, and he stops me just to tell me that I didn't choose the right, you know, when the fork in the road hit between good and evil, mm-hmm. I chose evil, apparently.
You did, apparently.
I'm like, I didn't choose evil. I just chose to do a voice of a guy who's the assistant commissioner of the Big Sky Conference. That's what I chose to do, and I chose to be good at it. Sorry,
no.
I chose first class
you
seat over,
Ballard,
over my wife.
You and Ballard and Hogan are evil. That is, and good on him.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Too
for
bad
recognizing
I got Rex.
Good versus
I
evil.
I got Rex one time. Guess what? I faked like I was Nolan Naraki. I've got that one too. Remember when all the Cam Newton stuff came out where Cam knows where the camera is at all times and smiles and all that? Well, I called him as Nolan Naraki. I can do a pretty good Nolan Naraki. This is what Nolan's voice sounds like. He's from Chicago, and he always sounds like he's been walking up steps. And, Rex, I got to go ahead. Mike Florio's calling, and I'm going to tell him it was you. I know it wasn't you, but I need you to be a good soldier. Take the bullet on this one. I'm going to tell him you gave me the information. I want to protect Mark Sadowski. And he's like, what? Me? I have to take the bullets on this? Yeah, I need you to be a good soldier. And so don't worry. I got Rex, too. Rex didn't know. I faked him out, too. So
there you go.
I faked out John Dorsey. They had me call his SEC guy, Alonzo. No, Ballard had me call his SEC guy to John Dorsey when he was GM of the Chiefs, and I call in. Or maybe Alonzo had me do it when he was with Green Bay, and I said, listen, I've hello. Listen, I've got some players. I understand you call the shots there with that NFL team. Listen, I got some guys I need to run through, make sure you know about these guys in the SEC. And I started going down a list of like 20 SEC players who were first and second rounders, and I'm giving them my personal SEC guy scouting report, and I leave this answer machine message. Dorsey goes into the meeting and said, okay, some guy called in about these players from the SEC, and he played the answer machine off his phone. He played the voice message about, listen to this. And he didn't think it was a setup. He thought it was just some lunatic from the SEC country, you know, calling to give him scouting reports on his players. He goes, never give my phone number out ever to anybody if I have to deal with these guys, with these fans.
That is hilarious. All right, it's 812 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 73780-3776. The number, if you would like to hang with us, you can come on and get. It's pretty much a holiday show. Lance is on holiday already. He's off tomorrow. He's in Belize. We're here. I'm heading to Chicago for the weekend. And here we are. If you want to get in, come on as well. What do you want to talk about? It really doesn't matter. Oh, when we come back, we got all right, we got Maurice Mottin is going to join us here, an NFL analyst for SB Nation. So we're going to do that. Right now, though, I am talking about this fight that's coming up on Saturday. Five-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis defending his WBA lightweight title against number one ranked contender Rolando Romero. Two undefeated fighters in a matchup for the ages. Live on pay-per-view this Saturday, May 28th, 8 o'clock our time. Go to Showtime.com to order now. Now, Gervonta Tank Davis is one of the hottest young attractions. All right. He is 26-0 with 24 knockouts. And look, Romero, he's pretty good too. He's 14-0 with 12 knockouts. How's this fight? How's this fight going to be? He's the number one contender. They're going at it. And you got a co-main event as well. Aris Landy, the American Dream Lara, versus Gary Spike O'Sullivan in a 12-round co-main event. Lara, 28-3-3. So let's go. It is go time. Let's go. This is he was the longest reigning 154-pound world champion before he lost a tough split decision to Jared Hurd. So this is a good fight. We got a couple of good fights on here. And you got I think three preliminary fights, and you got the big fight all on Showtime pay-per-view. Go to Showtime.com. You want the fight? Showtime. ESPNRadio.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Maurice Moten is joining us here, NFL analyst, breaking news team writer, and fantasy football writer for Bleacher Report. We were talking earlier this week about a little bit about fantasy football, and we got to get his opinion on a lot of this stuff. Maurice, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
We appreciate you being here. Jonathan Taylor, the clear-cut number one pick. How do the next couple, three picks go in fantasy football?
Man, it's tough. Now, if you're not in the PPR league, you're probably still on Derrick Henry, even though I would caution against that. Heavy workload, so he could be on the Dallas. Of course, he got hurt last year. But if Alvin Kamara isn't suspended by the league, he would probably be in my top five, along with Austin Eckler, who I predicted last year would have a breakout year, and he did. Second year in that Chargers offense, Joe Lombardi compared him to Alvin Kamara, and you're seeing that on the field. So I think Austin Eckler, again, if he stays healthy, he would be my number two pick. I wasn't able to get him last year. Gunning for him this year.
I'm taking Jonathan Taylor. I mean,
yeah, well,
you know,
he's
that
one.
Guy is a
number one.
JT. The question I have with Eckler too is going to be how are they going to utilize him with his size and worried about him breaking down. You know, I really thought they would target a running back earlier in the draft to take some of the heavy lifting off his plate.
It's so funny with him, though. He's not a featured back. I mean, he's, you know, but he gets so many catches. He picks up 50, 60 yards. He gets 30, 40, 50 yards, but he scores touchdowns, though.
Another name to bring up, Dalvin Cook, is another guy. He stays healthy. Another top five guy if he stays healthy. I think that offense could take another step with Kevin O'Connell taking over. I also think with Kirk Cousins and that passing attack, take some pressure, lighten the box a little bit. I think that would be a top pick also.
What's
well.
The top? How do you have the top three or four wide receivers ranked?
Well, that's a little tough. After DeAndre Hopkins got suspended, it gets a little murky. This is going to sound like a homer pick because I cover the Raiders exclusively. But Davante Adams going to the Raiders with Derek Carr, I think he's gonna be a top guy out there. I know Hunter Renfro is coming up, but Davante Adams obviously is going to be the number one option. Mike Evans, I think, is going to be a top pick simply because Chris Godwin, I don't think, is going to be ready to start the season. As you know, he's torn towards ACL late last season, so Mike Evans is going to see a lot of targets early. Another name, Keenan Allen, because I'm not sold on Mike Williams repeating what he did last year. I believe that was his first season with over 50 catches in a single term. So I think Keenan Allen is obviously the guy, but I don't think Mike Williams is going to repeat. So Keenan Allen could have another big year with Justin Herbert, second year in that offense. I believe his head coach, Brandon Staley, said, you know, he hasn't had a lot of stability. So him getting the second year in Joe Lombardi's offense, I think his connection with Keenan Allen is going to really show up. Justin Jefferson as well, as I just mentioned, with that Vikings offense going under Kevin O'Connell, I think he's going to be a big playmaker as well.
Well, Cooper Kupp, too.
Cooper Kupp, I like Cooper Kupp, but the addition of Allen Robinson could take away a little bit. I do like Allen Robinson, I think, but that could hurt Cooper Kupp's numbers a little bit. I wouldn't be afraid to take him early. But again, I don't think his numbers would be astronomical with the addition of Allen Robinson coming along.
Yeah, I don't know that Davante Adams is going to put up the same numbers with Carr that he had with Aaron Rodgers, though.
It's a fair question. It's a fair question coming over. I know a lot of people expecting that magic to happen because they were, you know, college teammates at Fresno State. But I just think with the money they paid him, and Bryan Edwards wasn't a big part of that offense, but I think with Josh McDaniels, you're going to see a lot of two wide receiver sets. So I think that, you know, that lessens the targets to go around. Of course, they have Darren Waller there. Got hurt at the end of last year. He's going to still be a part of that offense. But I feel pretty confident in Davante Adams still having a pretty big year.
I think he probably will. But I think the one thing that would concern me is when you look at you know, when you look at the potential to throw touchdowns, Derek Carr's never been a touchdown guy. Never in his career has he been a touchdown passer. And that's, for fantasy football, you know, that's at 6 points. And Aaron Rodgers has been a guy who has targeted Devontae Adams with touchdowns. And so I think that's the biggest, you know, we saw that with Andre Johnson here years ago when he had a quarterback in Matt Schaub who had statistics a lot of times similar to Derek Carr's. But when you can't push it into the red zone for touchdowns, that really it can turn a top wide receiver into a number five or number six wide receiver when you don't have that. The guy to me that they're basically telling you is going to have the monster year is Tyreek Hill. I want to get your thoughts about Mike McDaniel using Tyreek Hill potentially. When they targeted him, all you could think about is that they're going to use him in the same Debo role. Well, we know that Debo is a monster in that role from a fantasy standpoint. Aren't they basically telling you that Tyreek Hill is going to be the same thing?
They are, but I worry about the quarterback in that situation. And I'm not saying Tua is going to flop, but I don't think he's going to get the same. Now, you mentioned they're going to use him in the Debo Samuel role. I just don't think he'll have as many explosive plays outside of Kansas City. You're going into an offense with you're going from Patrick Mahomes to Tua Tagovailoa, and you have to factor that in. I wouldn't be afraid to pick him up, but I would just hesitate a little bit and just kind of temper my expectations. A guy I like that I didn't mention really quick, CeeDee Lamb, with Michael Gallup probably going to miss a few games. I know Dak Prescott isn't the guy that's going to throw for, you know, 40-plus touchdowns, but I think they're banking on CeeDee Lamb being the number one guy, and that's why they got rid of Amari Cooper. He's in Cleveland, who I also like in fantasy football, but I think CeeDee Lamb is the guy you should pay attention to.
All right, we're talking with Maurice Moton here on on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He is from Bleacher Report. Now, you talked about the Kamara possible suspension, and we got Deshaun possible suspension as well. What did you make of the Real Sports the other night and any damage? I thought the damage was minimal. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. What did you think of the Real Sports report?
I thought the damage was minimal. I mean, we've all read the report. We all know what's going on with Deshaun Watson's cases. Very serious case. But as you said, for now, I believe the NFL will suspend him for a handful of games, and they'll kind of not try to turn a page on it, but not that people forget about it. But we all know once the season starts, that's not going to be the topic of discussion. But the Cleveland Browns are doing their best, I will say, of trying to rehabilitate his image. You know, he talked about, you know, wanting to be involved in the community. You see his teammates are embracing him, so I think they're also doing damage control, but of course the contract comes up in discussion about him getting a fully guaranteed contract and the Browns kind of skirting their way around the NFL rules of if he gets suspended and the money he's supposed to get, that could be damaging. But otherwise, I think that the discussion about it won't be, as you said, as damaging as we thought it may be coming into it.
That's Maurice Moton here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And, you know, Kyler Murray not showing up. We got a guy here, Laremy Tunsil, not showing up. Not as big a deal, obviously, because he's a tackle. But Kyler Murray's not showing up for OTAs. What happens with the Cardinals? What do you think is going to happen here?
I think he'll eventually get a deal. What are you going to do? What's the alternative? Who's his backup quarterback that's going to come in there and take over that offense? Now, I know he hasn't finished seasons well, but you're not going to throw out Colt McCoy week one. So, but the quarterback situation and a quarterback like Kyler Murray, he has been productive. You eventually just have to pay him and move on. You know that's coming up after 3 years in the league, they're eligible to get an extension. I think you just eventually pay him and move on. Steve Kime has also said no chance they're going to trade him. So I think he'll have a new deal before training camp.
So you don't think this could possibly like a Dak situation? This could drag on like that. You don't think that he gets to franchise?
No, I don't think so, because of the fact that I think the threat of him having that baseball background, like, I can just walk away from this. I don't really need this. You know, he hasn't said that, but he has that in his back pocket. So I think he can, you know, he has a little more leverage there. And as I said, you know, since he's come along, the Cardinals have been playoff contender, playoff caliber team. So again, you just don't have much leverage when it comes to quarterback his caliber, and again, him having that plan B to fall back on.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know that they want to pay. I don't. Has he proven? Has he really proven? Especially that playoff game, how he played
the second half of seasons.
Yeah, the second half of seasons.
It's been a big issue. Yeah.
I'm not so sure. The Cowboys weren't convinced with Dak. And it took a while. I'm not so sure that the Cardinals aren't going to approach it the same way.
Yeah, you make a great point. But the fact of the matter is that was his first playoff appearance too. So I'm not going to give him a pass for it because it got ugly. But I will say that what were they before he got there? You know, so you have to look at it that way. And again, it's not like this is a left tackle or I wish not a good example. Maybe this is not a guard. This is not your second wide receiver. This is not a D tackle. This is your quarterback. You know, it's a quarterback driven league. So if your quarterback is good enough to get you to the playoffs, you know, he's got a lot of leverage.
Yep. All right. 827 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Maurice, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Bleacher Report. What's your Twitter handle?
Twitter handle at MoMoNess, MoMoTon. A lot of things Raiders there, fantasy football, a lot of league issues, current events. Hit me up on there if you have any, you know, comments on articles that I drop on Bleacher Report or anything Raiders related.
That is. All right, man, good stuff. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us.
All right, appreciate you guys.
All right, Maurice Moten right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now we got Lance and we've got Allstate Siding.
Allstate Windows and Siding. We like to lead with the windows part first because the window is such a big part of what needs to be done for a lot of your homes. Some of you had a home built in the 60s, some of the 70s, some of the 80s. It really doesn't matter. If you've never replaced the windows, you're going to have that single-pane aluminum window that is not energy efficient. It doesn't help to reduce the noise in your home. It doesn't probably right now, it doesn't even keep the dust and the, you know, in the AC from escaping, because with the movement of the soil beneath us, it starts to alter and change some of the fittings of the window and some of the frames. That's why having a brand new double pane, double strength window that is made right here in the state of Texas, made in Texas for Texas tough weather, you're going to have a lack of energy efficiency, and it's going to hit you with the bills. With energy efficient windows, you're going to see your electric bill come down, and more importantly, you're going to keep the cool air in your home longer. It's going to stay cool longer. You're not going to have the air conditioner turn on as frequently and have to stay on as long when you don't have leaky windows. And my friends over at Allstate Windows and Siding, they can do that. They can help you with siding. They can help you with windows. They've got a 25% discount on your windows when you mention you heard about it from ESPN 97.5. And then what they'll do is give you 0% financing for up to 36 months. So pay for it over the course of 3 years if you want to. If you say, look, I got to get windows right now, but I want to wait until 6 or 7 months because, you know, I got this money coming in or blah, 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 whatever you want to do. Hey, that's fine. 36 months of no interest financing gives you the chance to get what you want right now and a 25% discount when you mention you heard about it from me and from ESPN Radio. So get those new windows today from Allstate Windows and Siding. For the best rate, call Allstate Windows and Siding. Go to AllstateWindowsandSiding.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple of knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Hi, my man Carlos Silva, marketer extraordinaire, with us here to talk Morley Law, the Morley Law Firm. Carlos, how about them guys?
What's going on, John? Everything good?
Everything is great, man. How about what's going on over at the Morley Law Firm?
I'll tell you what, we wanted to talk about first-party claims. First-party claims are situations where you are a homeowner and you get into a situation where you need your home fixed and you have your insurance, but the insurance is playing games with you. Have them call us at the Morley Law Firm. We will resolve the issue. We'll try to maximize your return versus them trying to give you the least amount that they possibly want to.
At the
Morley Law, we'll jump all over it. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that's what insurance companies do, no? And they're always trying to lowball you.
Always, always. But we will fight for you. Give us a call. You need a roof. You need water damage. You got any kind of damage that happens to your home. A tree fell over. Give us a call. We will fight to make sure that you get your maximum amount. Not to mention, of course, immigration, criminal law, Anything that you need, we are there for you 1,050%.
It's Morley Law. MorleyLaw.com. M-O-R-L-E-Y Law.com. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955. And don't forget, se habla español. Thanks, Carlos.
Thank you, John.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. I don't know. It's Longhorn Row? Let's get him in here. He's been waiting a while to get in on the show. What's Longhorn? Which Longhorn is this?
Yeah, it's Longhorn, bro. Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Lance, you did the right thing, man.
Thanks, man.
Is your wife the preeminent draft expert?
No, that's a good point.
Get back with the peasant, man. Sit back there. Man, you deserve that. You're a king. You're awesome. I want to talk to y'all about the Longhorns. And see, I just want y'all's opinion. Are they going the right way? Do y'all see them be successful in the SEC? And when do you see them? When do you see them going back to the or making it to the CFP? Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, I got to get past 5 wins. That whole thing. Listen. I know they're 8.5 wins right now. I know Quinn Ewers. I get it. I've seen zero players drafted out of the program. Now they are doing the right thing with the NIL. I thought it was brilliant when every lineman gets $50,000. That just every single lineman in the country went, now what now? $50,000 for every lineman? That is awesome. That's where I want to go. So that's totally sweet. And I think they're up there in the recruiting wars every year. There's just something about the program, something about, I don't know, something about that lifestyle, that Austin, something about the university, something about, no one can put it, you can't pinpoint it, what the hell is going on there. But they should never have 5 wins. They should never be 5-7, ever, 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 ever. And yet here they are with a third coach now in what, 5 years or 6 years, whatever it is, and trying to get it right, and his first year was a disaster. I don't know. Do you believe that this is a 9 or 10 win team this year?
Man, I think I know. I mean, they just quit mentally last year. That's a big concern. They just mentally quit. They lost a couple offensive linemen. There's been a lot of recruiting help coming in, and they've got this 4-star, that 5-star, so. You never know when a team – we saw with Jimbo, where Jimbo got things turned around pretty quickly from a – when I say turned around, like the attitude in a building got where it needed to be quickly. He imposed his will. Is Sark going to be able to do that? Because they were a bunch of quitters last year. I mean, you had guys taping a coach on the bus who – the coach was so upset that he didn't see the fire and the drive and the desire. He was chewing the team out like coaches have done for decades. And you got people taping it and putting it on social media. I mean, that's your standard at Texas. Your standard is a bunch of guys who quit on the team in the second half of the season, got their asses whipped by teams that were equal or maybe even inferior from a talent standpoint on the roster. That's what you got. You got guys taping conversations and putting it on social media thinking it's funny. You got guys quitting on the team, not giving effort. That's your standard right now, and until Sark can get that standard changed, and I don't blame him. I'm not blaming Sark. I'm saying he's got an uphill battle, and it's very easy year after year to have the Longhorns do something good, and you say, oh, they're back. You can't say it after last year, obviously, but it's been easy to say this: they're back. I've fallen into the trap so many times. I'm done with it. I'm not falling into the trap. I'm like you, John. Sark's going to have to show me first. This has to be a show-me situation, because until Sark shows me that he's got control of that team and that he's
got his X's and O's tight, and he's got his players playing hard for the full game, for you know, for the entire schedule. I'm not buying in. I'm not buying anything into anything the Longhorns do until they show me first, because I've given them you know, just assumed victories over the years, and it's just not smart. And what I saw last year I thought was disgusting. I really thought it was bad, and I know a lot of Longhorn fans were very, very upset with the way last year went, and they're already like, there's some concern. I'm not saying this is the majority opinion, but I know there's already concern, like, I don't know, is Sark even the right guy? We'll find out. But it gets, he's got to get the right guys in the locker room. If that means transfer portaling some guys' ass out of the program, then get them out. Man, get the bad, get the cancers out of there. Get the guys who don't want to be there, the guys that joke and laugh and want to tape coaches getting upset and post it on social media. Get your clout chasers out of there, the ones who have 15 to 20 different, you know, so blessed for this offer from this school who they just wanted about them. Get them out there and get some dogs in there. You don't have dogs in your building. Until you get some dogs, I don't care. Until Texas shows me dogs, I'm not buying it.
Well, and you know what? That guy throwing the ball. And maybe Quinn Ewers is it. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. But he better, you know what? He better be, for all that money, all this hype.
Quinn's
and
got talent.
Else.
Yeah,
he's
Quinn's
got a bunch
talent.
Of talent.
Got
he's a bunch got of talent. Talent.
But how do you lead a team through, you know, the trick shot stuff is great. People get so hyped up on, like, with Zach Wilson in his pro day. Oh, my God, Zach Wilson's passing the pro day. And then he sucks his rookie year. I don't care about your trick shots. I need to know, can you throw accurately from point A to point B? And when the going gets tough, do you have the mental toughness to elevate your team, to raise your team and put them on your back if you need to? That's what I need to know if Quinn Ewers can do. I know Bijan Robinson's a baller. I know he's a really, really good player. But I know Texas has talent in the building. I just want to see if they're bought in, if they're focused, if they're tough guys, if they're mentally tough guys, and if they're playing towards a common goal. Because if they're not, it's just going to be the same thing. You're just nothing but a lot of talk and a badge. That's it. You're not nothing but a. You're more name than game. You're a guy. You're a helmet. You're just a helmet in a jersey color that has Vince Young attached to it. But that's not who you are. You're not that Longhorn team. You're not even close to Mac Brown's Longhorn. So you're going to have to show somebody something at some point. We can't just keep giving you free passes in college football.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. 713-780-3776. On the other side, Colin Kaepernick working out. Your thoughts. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. Right now I'm talking about my peeps over at, look, if you're looking for the best place to bet, this is not even arguable. It is so good right now. All you got to do is go there. And when you make your initial deposit, you, my friends, are going to benefit from, it doesn't even matter if it's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. It doesn't matter if it's your initial deposit or you've been with them for forever. You get a deposit bonus. So right now, you can bet on baseball. You can bet on NBA playoffs. You can bet on MMA. You can bet on boxing. You can bet on golf. It doesn't matter what it is. They've got everything, and it's so good. It's so easy to navigate. The website is simple. And when you win and you want to get paid, they will take the money and they will send it to you. So if you're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid, and a bonus deposit, a deposit bonus, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, how about this? We're going to give away. I've been talking about this Gervonta Tank Davis and Rolando Romero fight. It's Saturday night on Showtime. number one ranked contender Rolando Romero, five-time champion Gervonta Tank Davis. He's got a lightweight fight going on. It's at 8 o'clock our time at Showtime.com. We're going to give away a code for it, all right? At exactly 9 o'clock, you call in at 713-780-3776, and we'll take caller number 5, and you're going to get the code. You just have to give RJ your email. Caller number 5 at exactly 9 o'clock is going to be our winner. So we got that. So good stuff. Thank you, Showtime, for giving that away. I've been talking about it, and if you're looking for a good fight, we got that Saturday night. And you can watch it maybe for free if you're caller number 5. All right, Colin Kaepernick is going to work out for the Raiders. He already worked out for them.
It's already over.
Nick Mullins, Jarrett Stidham. They just picked up Stidham not long ago. Uh-huh. And Chase Garbers. What do you think about the possibility of?
Not much. I mean, it's hard to play football. I mean, it's hard to play football when you miss 2 years.
Yeah.
Colin's older. He's missed football for 6 years. Honestly, he's just not a very good passer, and he wasn't. I've heard these – like, I watched all these games. It's weird that people try to gaslight you into believing he was this really good passing quarterback. What he was, a dual-threat quarterback that his best year came when, you know, was a very smart move for Harbaugh to introduce the zone read. NFL teams had not been used to the zone read, hadn't really seen it enough. They used that diamond alignment, that inverted diamond, which worked really well with the lead blocker. Then what happened was they smashed Green Bay. Green Bay went to A&M. They learned how to defend it in the offseason, the very first game of the year. It changed everything. The whole NFL realized you run at the mesh point and you hit the quarterback as hard as he can so that he's forced to hand off every time. And once you took the zone read away from Kaepernick, it was a lot tougher for him. The biggest problem he has is throwing with accuracy. There was a time Colin Kaepernick should have, you know, and I'm not here to relitigate everything. I think Colin Kaepernick should have still been in the league, should have had a chance to compete for a starting job in the league. I think he was a low-end starter to a high-end backup by the stage of his career where he was on the way out. On a grading scale, he'd be a 61 quarterback. And we know what happened. We know the whole thing. Once again, I'm not here to get into that. I just think 6 years later, he's just not a good enough passer, I don't think, to be an NFL quarterback right now as a backup. What you want a backup for is they either have to be able to get wins for you or really add an element to your team that sometimes goes beyond on the field. You need them to be a great set of eyes for your starting quarterback, a great confidant for your starting quarterback who sees certain things. And I don't know if that's Colin. He's never been asked that. I don't know if he has a relationship with Derek Carr or not. I know Nick Mullins has been that kind of guy. He played for San Francisco. He's got a pop gun arm. I mean, he's just as average as he could be. But Nick had some success in limited time in San Francisco. Maybe he would be, you know, maybe he's the type of backup they want over there. Chase Garber's just kind of a guy out of Cal. He's a free agent. Jarrett Stidham. You know, it didn't work out for him in New England. I don't have a problem with Colin Kaepernick getting a workout. You know, you wonder, is this real? I think the Raiders maybe are genuinely curious. Like, hey, I wonder what this guy has. You know, I wonder what he has. I don't think he has a lot of velocity on his throws anymore. And the throwing motion is just kind of it's a very loose. John, you're a quarterback. You can see if you watch him throw, it doesn't look like anyone else.
He's kind of a sidewinder.
And the ball's really, like, the arm is really extended, almost javelin style, away from his body in terms of release.
He looks kind of like an old school. You know, you see those old school throwers, like, from the 40s and 50s. He's got that kind of
slinging kind of thing.
He slings it.
But it's I just think 6 years – like the thing that made him the thing that really gave him some extra juice was his athletic ability.
Yeah.
And ability to get outside of the pocket. It wasn't because he was going to sit in a pocket and beat you. So does he still have that after being out of football for 6 years? Has he stayed in the kind of shape he has to? I think those are questions that the Raiders wanted to have answered. Is it good publicity? I saw people talking about this. Yeah, it's good publicity for the Raiders. You know, do they really, are they really interested? Does he really have a shot, or is this a
kind of a publicity move. I don't know. I mean, I'm just here to talk about the football part of it.
He could be better than Nick Mullins. I mean,
no, he might be.
And here's the thing is, and they're not afraid. I mean, you know, they had a Heisman Trophy winner sitting behind Derek Carr. They're, you know, I don't mind the way that they go about it, because they, you know what, if something should happen to Derek Carr, we want to be ready. We want to have a guy who is going to come in and possibly win football
games. GM, new head coach.
Yeah.
So you don't know, you know, you don't know what their thoughts are. Like I said, though, Collins got to be great at recognizing the X's and O's to help Derek Carr out. This is not going to be Collins' team. Collin doesn't – certainly the Raiders want no distractions at all. And you're going to get some if you add them on the team. It's just – there's no way around
it. You know, it's funny. He addressed this. So he was on the I Am Athlete podcast, and he said that his former coaches, Harbaugh and Chip Kelly, made the – he said – they both said he made the locker room better. His teammates voted the most courageous and inspirational player. When you're talking about the people in the building, he said, I've never had an issue with anyone. He said – you know, and as far as ownership goes, he said, you know, when I first took a knee, my jersey went to number one. When I did the deal with Nike, their value increased by $6 billion. When you're talking about the business side, it's beneficial. If you're talking about the playing side, let me compete. You can evaluate me from there. The NFL is supposed to be a meritocracy. Come in, let me compete. If I'm good enough, if I'm not good enough, get rid of me, but let me come in and show you. This is, you know what? He was throwing the ball around. He had the workout at Michigan, where he didn't look great. He was throwing, especially his deep ball was not very good. But you're right. He was voted most courageous player by his teammates in 2016. Dude,
I mean, it is what it is.
I don't know. I
don't know of any football player that's been out that long that's ever come back. But what you have to understand is that this is less about his. It is about his football ability, but it's more about the mental side. It's more about, once again, are there things that you recognize on tape? Are there things that Colin Kaepernick sees as a backup? Because he has to be all in with being a backup. He has to be okay and all in with doing the grunt work that's necessary to try to make his quarterback as good as he can be. Grunt work is maybe not the best word for it, but it's being that extra set of eyes. Hmm. Can he be the extra set of eyes for the coach? Can he be the extra set of eyes for the backup? This is not a starting quarterback type of deal. It's a backup. It's a second or even third string. Maybe they put package plays in for him if he still has the same level of athleticism. But more than anything, your job is to help make sure that your starting quarterback, that you help to bolster him up and give him the best chance to succeed by seeing the field for him or with him. And you have to really, you know, a good backup quarterback, a true backup, is one who is there for his starting quarterback to be that confidant for him. Can Colin Kaepernick do that? Does he have the ability to do that? Is that his strength? I don't know. Like, I don't know that he's ever been asked to do that, so I don't know if that's a strength or not.
Yep. Let's get Dave in here. Let's talk about Colin Kaepernick. What do you say, Dave?
Hey, guys. Listen, first off, I think it's long overdue for him to get an opportunity. I typically agree with Lance, but on today, I disagree because I don't understand how. First off, he's a quarterback who took his team to the Super Bowl. And if not for the kickoff punt returns for the guy who used to play for the Texans, I think he wins MVP in that game. The 49ers started tanking that team when they got rid of Harbaugh and intentionally started getting rid of players. And even after doing that, his last season, he was, if I'm not mistaken, like 16 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. I don't understand how the last thing you saw was 16-4, and you're not a good quarterback.
It wasn't great. I'll be honest, it wasn't great. I watched it, and it was the Chip Kelly effect. So you remember Nick Foles, the year Nick Foles had in his first year with Chip Kelly's offense in Philadelphia? Do you remember that year?
I'm sorry?
Do you remember Nick Foles' first season under Chip Kelly's offense? I mean, he had a monster year. What was it, 29 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and then it was in the tank after that.
This guy never went in the tank. He never went in the tank. The team quit on him.
Well,
I'm not talking about – that's something separate. I'm talking about everyone points to – I watched every one of those games because I was writing up all the old lines at that particular time when he was playing as well. And – Colin Kaepernick 16-4. I'm just telling you right now, he was not, from the standpoint of being a a passer. If you think the 16-4 is indicative of how he was throwing the football, it was not. And Chip's offense is not really based on trying to be a pocket passing quarterback. You get situations and setups, but that's why when you watched it, it was like, it wasn't great. It wasn't great from an accuracy standpoint that year that he was. But that was the year. And yeah, I'm not arguing. I thought what he had with Harbaugh that year that you're talking about, no question, that was the year that they unleashed the zone read out of the inverted diamond, the three-man backfield, and they were killing people. People didn't know how to defend it. And NFL teams don't really do well at adjusting to brand-new schemes in season. It's usually in the offseason. And Kaepernick was a major factor. He was a major factor. We talked about him all the time. That was years ago, though. Like, that was a long time ago. We're bringing up – what was that? Was that – it was in New Orleans, so that would have been 13, John? Was it 2013? Was it 9 years ago?
Yeah. What, that Super Bowl? Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know how that, like, when the once lights again, went out. I'm not redoing his whole career. There was a time Colin was really good that year because that was an offense that was perfectly suited. It's when they took away the mesh point at the where they started bum rushing the quarterback at the mesh point of the handoff on the zone read where it completely altered the offense, and Harbaugh no longer had that offense available to him. He couldn't run the same offense. That's when everything started to come down for Colin Kaepernick, and specifically that offense. Yeah, the other stuff with the 49ers is the other stuff. I don't know what he – you know, I'm agreeing with you, though. He was great that year. I don't know what that has to do with right now, though. I'm not trying to argue his, you know, his all-time career. I think he had – I think he got off to a quick start. I think that he didn't make adjustments. When the defenses adjusted to him, I didn't think Colin Kaepernick did a great job of adjusting to the defenses. That's just as an objective viewer, because I honestly kind of missed. I thought Colin Kaepernick was going to change and the zone read was going to change the NFL forever. And I think it has. NFL teams have figured out some different things that have allowed that offense to still play in the NFL, but it can't be your primary offense. Like, you can't just run zone read, because NFL defenses have figured out how to attack you. This is crazy. Kaepernick only played. He was only a starter. Like, he only had 5 full years. That's kind of crazy. By the way, that year when he had the 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, they were 1-10. I mean, he was 1-10 as a starter, so I don't know. He completed 59% of his passes. Not great. 6.8 yards per attempt, which is the second lowest of his entire career. I mean, everyone points to 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, but he really wasn't throwing. He was throwing for 186 yards a game, under 7 yards a pass, and he was 1-10. So,
yeah, 168 yards a game. Holy crap. All right.
Yeah. So, 186. 186.
901 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, what kind of Texans, what kind of season, offseason have the Texans had? Bill Barnwell rates him, and we'll take a look at it next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, who's the underdogs? The Texans.
Underdog Fantasy is your underdog. That's the one you need to know about. Promo code radio, they're going to give you $100. They're going to match $100. You put $100 or more in your account, they're going to match it up to $100. And what you're going to get is 4 free entries into Best Ball Mania 3. What is Best Ball Mania 3? I competed in Best Ball Mania 2 last year and ended up being a winner at the end of the year. You draft your team before the season starts, and last year's winner, first place winner, actually drafted their team in June. It's the old study long, study wrong premise. So when you actually have your strong fantasy opinions right now, what you can do is take a look at your fantasy team right now, draft it at underdogfantasy.com, and you don't have – there's no – listen, there are no waiver wire pickups. There's no roster management. You just have a group of players, and whoever scores the most for you that particular week, that's what your score is. So you don't have to worry about starting the right person here, right person there. If you truly are a smart fantasy football owner, you're somebody who knows fantasy and you know the game, you think you put more time in and you're more intuitive, then Underdog Fantasy, their Best Ball Mania is definitely for you. $10 million in prizes this year. Go get your chunk of the pie by going to underdogfantasy.com. or downloaded it on your app and use promo code for your first deposit. Use promo code radio, and they're going to match up to $100, and you can start using those for Best Ball Mania entry fees of $25. And like I said, if you're great at fantasy football, this is a big opportunity for you with Best Ball Mania 3 through UnderdogFantasy.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.